is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Aaron Klein. Aaron Klein is senior advisor to the former prime minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, who is now leader of the opposition in the Knesset. Aaron Klein is also a man who observes very carefully the national security status of the state of Israel these many years and these many months and right now, because the headlines, we march to the sound of rockets. The headlines are that the IAF and the IDF have launched airstrikes in Lebanon because Hezbollah has an arsenal of rockets pointed at the north of Israel, some of which have been used. The striking twist here is that the president of Lebanon has now responded, claiming that Israel has conducted a flagrant and dangerous violation of Lebanon's sovereignty. Aaron, good day to you in Israel. Let's begin with the rockets. What do we know about them, who fired them, and the ambition of the rockets? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The president of Lebanon, Michel Aoun, is largely a symbolic figure. And when he talks about violating anyone's territory, he should probably look to the north in his country. In this case, well, to the south of him in the country, the north of Israel, where yesterday, out of seemingly nowhere, three rockets were fired from Lebanese territory into Israel. Two of them landed in Israel, one in Lebanon. I'm not sure why Israel's Iron Dome anti-missile system didn't take out the two that landed in Israel, but actually the rockets caused damage. Thankfully, miraculously, nobody was injured, even though actually one of the rockets, the terror rockets fired from Lebanon into Israel, landed very close to a Shufersal, which is like Israel's version of Acme. It's a supermarket chain. And then a second rocket struck in a hillside, but actually both rockets ignited pretty significant blazes because these are forested areas. So we're talking about areas that were awash in flames yesterday. And also earlier today, the fires continued from these two terror rockets launched totally in an unprovoked manner from Lebanon into Israel. So yesterday, the IDF immediately responded with three rounds of over 100 artillery rounds fired from Israeli tanks along the Golan Heights border into Syria, into Lebanon. And then last night, early this morning here in Israel, Israeli fighter jets, and I can say that, usually we can't. In this case, the IDF has openly said that Israeli fighter jets targeted the Lebanese border area. They haven't released the exact targets, but we can assume that they were Hezbollah, probably Hezbollah munition sites, rocket sites, obviously Hezbollah terror sites in the past. But what's significant here is not the targets. It's that this is the first time since 2014 that Israel has openly taken responsibility, acknowledged that it carried out airstrikes in Lebanon. And then also the airstrikes in Lebanon, I understand, are the heaviest that Israel has fired at into Lebanon since the second Lebanon war in 2016, which begs several questions, including what's going on here. Is Hezbollah trying to provoke? Who fired these?
Aaron, I recall there were a handful of rockets, maybe three, maybe two, fired during the Gaza conflict recently concluded. And at the time, it was a puzzlement because Hezbollah had been going out of its way to declare that it was not getting involved in the Hamas provocations, the 4,000 rockets plus. However, later on, it emerged there was an explanation that those rockets were not fired by Hezbollah, but Hamas bad actors. Is that possible here as well?
So the official assessments aren't out yet about exactly who fired these rockets, but there have been leaks, probably deliberately, to the media here in Israel. from the military establishment, saying that they believe that this may have been Palestinian groups inside Lebanon, South Lebanon, firing rockets into Israel. So, okay, for me, as someone who sat there with the prime minister of Israel for 2 years and looking at this situation for 15, I can tell you that it's very unlikely that Palestinian groups in South Lebanon fire rockets into Israel without the tacit permission of, in fact, probably without the direct orders of Iran-controlled Hezbollah. Now, also yesterday, these rockets weren't fired out of nowhere. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary, back August 4th, 2020, of that massive ammonium nitrate explosion that rocked the port of Beirut, the capital of Lebanon, killed over 200 people, something like, I think, 7,500, 8,000 people injured, hundreds of thousands left homeless by this massive explosion. And we know who was behind it. It was clearly Hezbollah storing a very dangerous, outdated explosives in the middle of civilian zones, including across the street from a gas station. Incredibly, incredibly dangerous. Now, yesterday also, you had marches throughout Lebanon to commemorate this, and the undertones were against Hezbollah. So could it be that Hezbollah or Palestinian groups at the direction of Hezbollah, in order to try to divert some of the pressure against them on the one-year anniversary, which they knew would be a major instigator against Hezbollah, could it be that they fired rockets into Israel? Now, was yesterday one-off, or is this a signal of what is yet to come? Now, the military echelon here on the record continues to say that they think Hezbollah doesn't want a conflict with Israel. Now, looking at this entire situation from a bird's eye view, I'm not entirely sure anymore that that is the case, that Hezbollah doesn't want a conflict. Lebanon is a failed state. More than half the population is living below the poverty line. You have protests breaking out all over the place, escalating, by the way, by the day. Medicine scarce, food scarce, gas stations, banks, pharmacies, grocery stores, all being the site of major protests. And the undertones, again, are against Iran, against Hezbollah. Now, if Hezbollah, but we know who they are, launches a full-scale war with Israel to divert attention, at the end of the day, Lebanon will be devastated. So I don't know that Hezbollah or Iran wants a full-scale war, but could it be that they're trying here and there to provoke Israel to temper some of the anger internally? I just don't know. We'll see that. We'll see what happens in the coming days and weeks. But I do think that yesterday, the fact that it was the one-year anniversary of something that the public blames on Hezbollah, and then Hezbollah decides to fire rockets, well, somebody fired rockets, likely at the direction of Hezbollah in Israel, I think that that portends something very negative for Hezbollah's intentions.
I ask, Aaron, can we connect dots to the attack on the Mercer Street off recently in the Gulf region? The U.S., Israel, and the U.K. have all been very clear that this was an Iran provocation using a drone. That comes about the same time as we speculate about these rockets. Is there any thinking that this is all masterminded by Tehran?
Well, what we do have is Iran is escalating. Iran is on the rise. It could be that the Lebanon situation was sort of to divert attention only from yesterday with the protests against Hezbollah. Time will tell. But clearly, Iran is more brazen than ever, and we have to ask why. But you look at what's going on. You had Iranian operatives, we know that's who they were, that stormed the ship in the Gulf on Tuesday. Then before that, last Thursday, you had a UK national and a Romanian who were killed in a drone attack that Iran was also behind with an Israeli-owned ship called the Mercer Street. Now, Israel's not playing around on the one hand because they're naming those who were, and I mean the names of those who were responsible for the attack on the Mercer last Thursday. And then the UK and the US are signaling that they believe Iran, which, you know, of course, Iran was behind the attempted hijacking on Tuesday. So now you have the question of what is going to be done about this. That's the ultimate test. The UK is signaling that something needs to be, that there needs to be a coordinated response. And in fact, the British Foreign Secretary talked with Anthony Blinken about just that yesterday, about the possibility of a coordinated response. But what will that response be? There needs to be a line drawn here by the West, by the moderate Gulf countries, by the U.S., by the U.K., and possibly by Israel. Otherwise, Iran will understand that they got away with it twice with zero consequences. Now, we have the defense minister, Benny Gantz, making very strong statements. You know, his rhetoric is there. He's saying that Israel is prepared to engage militarily with Iran, although I think that that headline is being blown way out of proportion. He didn't randomly say that. He just answered yes to a question that he was asked. And knowing him, I'm not sure that that was intended. So let's not pay too careful attention to those headlines. But Bennett said that Israel could act, Prime Minister Bennett said Israel could act alone against Iran after the attempted hijacking yesterday. Not so sure how Israel can act alone, given that the Bennett administration promised no surprises on Iran with the U.S. But Gantz, the defense minister, did say that Iran is just 10 weeks away, and this is accurate and very dangerous, 10 weeks away from acquiring enough enriched uranium to build a nuclear bomb. Now, that raises major questions, and it comes, of course, along this alongside the questionable fair election, very likely unfair in Iran. The new president, Iran, more brazen than ever, and all eyes are on the UK. All eyes are on the U.S. Will they respond to this escalation? And what is going to happen vis-a-vis the nuclear talks?
Yes, the nuclear talks. So the last item here is I have not seen that headline for some days now. The Iran deal conversations, I have seen ambiguous remarks from State Department, let's call them diplomatic remarks, that something needs to happen, that we can't wait forever. Do you believe Raisi's inauguration has signaled a turn in the road, Aaron? A couple of minutes to talk on that.
Yeah, I mean, what it signals is that he's clearly being installed there by the Supreme Leader. I mean, this wasn't a very questionable election. Many people boycotted the election because Khamenei's Guardian Council disqualified all of the main challengers to Raisi. So, you know, he wins a very strange election. And Raisi very clearly is signaling hardline. And actually, it's very interesting that Iranian media in recent days has been almost painting Raisi as a potential successor to Khamenei, who's 82 and has allegedly some pretty significant health issues. So he's there. He's being installed, quote unquote, inaugurated. I wouldn't really use that word today. This is where I think that there needs to be more of a public campaign here in Israel to drawing the red lines of what can and cannot happen, according to Israel, in the nuclear talks. And I think that the red lines must be no ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, sanctions on the terror apparatus, and all of the advanced centrifuges have to be removed immediately from Iran. And they have to you have to have an inspections regime that works. No sunset clause, and so many other things. So I would like to hear a lot more of that, so it doesn't feel like it's only us here that is saying that. There needs to be more of a public campaign.
Aaron Klein, senior advisor to the former prime minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, now leader of the opposition. When we come back, the virus and the vaccine, the changing story in Israel. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.